Epstein Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion as we talk about the issues that face us. And we're talking about the issues primarily that affect America's foundation, America's crumbling foundation. I've said before, and I've said again in the monologue and in our dialogue and discussion with Congressman Mike Hill just a few moments ago, I believe the part and parcel of our crumbling foundation, based on the fact we've removed God from the forefront, we've taken God out of the classroom, we banned the Bible, we banned prayer, we can't pray publicly in Jesus' name, we've introduced the immoral, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical concepts into our academic system, our academics have plummeted, and we're now training those that simply are miniaturized Marxist, communist, socialist that are wanting to destroy the capitalistic constitutional republic that we have today. And it's being done incrementally, and it has been taking place now for 50 or 60 years, but coming to the forefront today. And what we see taking place with the lawfare of trying to destroy President Donald J. Trump and his reelection efforts to go into the presidency as of November of 2024. We're talking with today, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, thank you again for joining us. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion and the interest of our people as to what is taking place. Just before the top of the hour news, we're talking about Joe Biden wanting to appear electronically rather than in person for a debate. I'm looking at a headline that says, stunning number of Democrats want Joe Biden off the 2024 ballot. And I'm reading portions of this. All of these have been part of the declining popularity, with Joe Biden's approval dipping under 40%. More Democrats would be happy to see him off the ballots, more than Republicans. Will Joe Biden be on the 2024 Democratic presidential nominee ballot? This article reads, there are 54% of the Democrats say they'd be all right with moving the party beyond Joe Biden, having someone else on the ballot, end quote. Then I'm looking at another headline, Democratic National Committee to nominate Joe Biden virtually, convention in the convention before Ohio ballot drama. Another headline, Jill Biden, I'll touch on this and ask you to respond, Congressman. Jill Biden's claim is that President Trump can't put a sentence together. Jill Biden on television talk show with sympathetic supporters now has widely claimed that it is President Donald J. Trump that can't put a sentence together. She was talking in anticipation of the debate scheduled later in June between her husband, whose career is in verbal gaffes, blunders, and slip-ups extend back for decades, and even at one point triggering a book on his misstatements and Trump. And I could go on and on with the article. How do you comment, how do you respond to that? When Jill, is she delusional, or is this just a gaslighting Why would she make such a horrible statement when I believe the world knows the gaffes and the inability of Biden to be able to put two sentences together, and not saying it's Trump? How do you respond to that?
Dr. Youngblood, it's amazing how Democrats will so easily tell a lie. She knows that's not the truth, but she'll say it, and then those who are sympathetic to her in that audience, they'll clap or they'll laugh or whatever, but and they know that they are accepting a lie. It's obvious to everyone what's going on here is that Jill Biden is a grifter, just like her husband Joe Biden is, and she wants that to continue. She likes the idea of being pampered everywhere she goes by her staff and the Secret Service and everyone else and just being treated like royalty. She doesn't want that to stop. And so she'll say whatever. She'll lie. She'll say whatever to try and keep her position as first lady, which means Joe Biden would remain in office. So she'll say things like that. But the Democrats are very comfortable when it comes to lying because they know that if they tell the truth, that they would be completely avoided. This idea that 54% of Democrats want Biden to not be on a ticket, I think that's a lie. I think the number is even bigger than that.
Yes, I believe it.
To admit it. And what always amazes me is even those few, I think the numbers are probably 20% or less, who do want him, you have to wonder about their mental acuity, their mental attitude. And then you'll even find in some of these polls numbers like, and 9% of Republicans support Joe Biden. It's like, these aren't Republicans you're talking about then. These are delusional people. Anybody who's going to support Joe Biden and what we see going on in this nation right now is delusional. If you want to know the start of bad news, all you have to say is, today the Biden administration, ... anything that follows is going to be bad news. Or today, the Democrat Party, ... anything that follows is going to be bad news. And everyone knows that. We have to get away from this party. We have to get away from Joe Biden and everyone who is associated with him to turn this great nation back around.
Amen. And I believe it's going to take, as you stated so eloquently early on, that it's going to take Christians getting on our knees, coming before God, asking God to divinely intervene, I believe, as it did in 2016, and give relief, or we're going to see the destruction of our nation. Congressman Hill, just recently, according to the fanfare on just about all of the Marxist Channel news and on some of the so-called conservative news media outlets, talked about Joe Biden going to visit Hunter Biden's, his brother's wife and the relationship that Hunter Biden had with him. And she's going to be one of the key witnesses against Hunter Biden when his trial starts about illegal gun ownership in the next, I believe, 6 weeks. And yet all of the news media seem to be all rejoicing that President Joe Biden paid a private visit to her just a few days ago. Could that be a nefarious reason? Could that taint the witness of this woman in the, I've forgotten her first name, in the trial? What do you see in that? If that had been Donald Trump, that would be all over the news as being a horrible thing, and he's trying to taint the witness. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. You know, instead of a private visit with her, there's no telling what he said to her, what threats may have been made to her, either blatantly or subtly, but that is what you call witness tampering, obviously. And that should have been taken into consideration. And you're right, the press isn't going to say anything about this because it's simply an arm of the Democrat Party. Already that trial has been tainted that trial has been compromised, much like these trials, these sham trials we see that they're pulling now with Donald Trump. And I'm anxiously awaiting to see what this jury is going to come down with their verdict here in New York. And I can tell you right now, Dr. Youngblood, I will be surprised if they say not guilty. I will be floored if they say not guilty coming out of this sham trial with this sham district attorney, Alvin Bragg, and this sham judge, Merchon. Yeah, they're all frauds, all of them. And so if they come back and say not guilty, I am going to be shocked. And I think Donald Trump and his team are prepared for a guilty verdict. Of course, they're going to have to appeal it, you know, and that's going to just take more time, more money, keeping him off the campaign trail. But the whole setup was to keep him off the campaign trail. But we're seeing that whenever he is on that trail, even going into blue states, blue counties in blue states, that people are showing up in the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, showing their support for Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Hold your thought for a moment, Congressman. I believe we have a caller on the line. Derby, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Let me start by saying that I am a Trump supporter from day one. Now, concerning the upcoming debates, I believe Trump and the RNC are plain stupid to agree to such format. They are not having debates. They are having interviews controlled by the biased media. Any moron would know that that is not a debate. And even locally, conservative groups, they have debates, but they never have debates. They have interviews with pre-selected questions, even between two Republican candidates. So either you have a real debate or don't bother to have one. And one more point concerning the elections, unless we have secure nationwide elections, it is a waste of time to vote.
Congressman Hill, how do you respond to Derby's question and statement?
Two things, two ways. First of all, agree. If the Trump campaign agrees to these debates, that is sheer stupidity. You cannot agree to those sort of stipulations that have been placed on this, and that would be electronic, no audience, and so forth. That's nonsense, and he should not agree to it. And even though Donald Trump said, I'll debate you anywhere, any place, anyhow, you cannot agree to stupidity. Now, to Derby's second point, Derby's a friend of mine, and we are in agreement the vast majority of the time. But I'll have to say I disagree on this one, that it would be a waste of time to vote because of the cheating that we know we are going to witness. I would say the exact opposite. Everyone must go vote. Everyone has to. The turnout has to be so huge that even their cheating can't overcome it. If we stay at home, we will definitely lose. Everyone must go out and vote.
Congressman, I'm in agreement with you. And Derby and Congressman Hill, let me read headlines and a brief portion of each article. George Soros already has spent $80 million to wrap up the 2024 election. A new report from Media Research Center reveals that the far-left billionaire George Soros, who once boasted of considering himself some kind of god, has already handed out $80 million in order to wrap up the election results in advance. Another headline study, non-citizens are registered to vote, could decide the next presidency. Once one growing concern because of Joe Biden's open borders, his policy with the borders, and the millions of illegal aliens that's entered into the nation, and the fact of the many states have systems automatically offering them opportunities to register and to vote. And it goes on to give in statistical numbers, somewhere between 10% and 27% of non-citizen adults in the U.S. now are illegally registered to vote. Now, with those two things alone, as you've said, Congressman Hill, it's going to take, I believe, a super majority of voters in order to win the election if we continue with the electronic election system. So, Congressman Hill, respond to that. And the Derby, I'd like to hear your response on it.
Well, you're right. If we continue with this electronic voting system, it's going to be very difficult to win. And what we need to do in each state, each county, the supervisor of elections need to go to a paper voting one day on election day, voter ID required.
Amen.
and
go ahead.
And to prosecute those who break those rules. That's what we have to go to. If we go to this electronic voting system, which has been proven that it can be rigged, it will be very difficult to win an election, but we still must try. We
absolutely
can't give up. We can't give in to them.
Absolutely. Derby, what is your response to that? And then I'll let you go.
Well, I will vote again for sure, but what if after we vote and millions more vote, Biden or the Democrats cheat again and win the election? What do we do then? Because we cannot do the same as we did in 2020, which was nothing. So,
well, Derby, let me Derby, let me jump in and give a wrap up on the thoughts there. If we have the cheating that took place in 2020, 2022 that we know of as being major mega cheating, if that takes place in 2024, and I believe that it really will, I think that we're going to be in a horrible position to salvage our constitutional republic. I believe November of this year is the last election, open election, free election that America will see if these things take place. And according to the statistical data and the material that I've read, we must have a supermajority of voters, and so that means every Christian. Back in 2020, 40 million Christians sat at home, sat on their hands, did not go out and vote. I don't know how many it was in 2022, but if we have that same number of Christians, conservatives that do not vote in this on this November election, we've lost it. Our foundations are gone, eviscerated, destroyed completely. And based on what we see taking place, and by the way, just as a little parenthetical inset to that, I believe the best thing that could happen to try to prevent Joe Biden's numbers is that of Robert Kennedy Jr. that's in the race. I believe that he will take about 15% to 20% of the otherwise Joe Biden votes. I believe that could be, he'll take some of Trump's, but I believe that's the best thing that could have happened for this election. So we need to keep praying, keep looking up, keep asking God to intervene and giving us victory for this election. And I go back to what Congressman Hill said. I believe that we need to have one day voting, 7 o'clock till 7 o'clock, 12 hours. I believe we need to make a federal holiday of that day of voting so there'd be nobody has the excuse, I've got to work. I believe we need to go back to the paper ballot, because back when we had paper ballots, by midnight each election day, we knew who had won. We didn't have to worry 8, 10, 15 days. And the final little fragmented point that I make with that is after the 2020 election, some 67 cases were filed by the Trump Organization and or the conservative voters challenging, and not one of those cases were allowed to go into the courthouse door to be heard. And now finally, after 4 years, some of these cases are maturating. The judges are listening to them. In Georgia's one, Pennsylvania's one, Nevada, where they're now finally saying, yes, some nefarious things took place in the 2020 election. I think that we need to have a major, major overhaul of our justice system. And some of these judges that are wanting to have how would you say, their way rather than the constitutional legal way, I think we need to remove them. So that's just my thoughts. But Derby, thank you so much. We need to keep praying and asking God to intervene in this election cycle. Congressman Hill, let me move to another very serious issue that is before us. We touched on a moment ago that with the COVID and what had taken place with COVID, how the government saw that they could force the American citizens to bow, to bend, and submit, and surrender, even with the closing of churches and with the forced vaccinations and with the millions around the globe that's died as a result of the vaccination and the hundreds of thousands, if not millions in America that have died from that. There's another issue that is very, very, very clearly a factor that could affect the elections. And that is with, I'm looking at a headline, the call for a global intifada intensifies. Pro-Hamas groups call for the escalation in every capital and every city around the globe. Pro-Hamas groups throughout the United States are now openly calling for intifada in every capital and every city around the world, including Israel. Intifada, meaning an uprising and rebellion, in Arabic refers to specifically the two Palestinian campaigns against Israel and all of its citizens. I'll read one other brief paragraph. An organization calling itself Gaza Group issued a statement declaring, quote, escalate protest and open intifada in every capital and every city in order to deprive the world of its heavy slumber that comes at the expense of the bodies and remains of those that survive. Disrupt all facets of daily life until our people can breathe freely without any taint of Israel, any taint of America, any taint of Europe and its war machines, end quote. Now, because I have done so much research and study on that subject, and my book is Islam Tolerant, 325 pages, 25 chapters, I said it's the most intolerant, vicious, vile religion on the face of the globe. And now we have in Dearborn, Michigan, where one of the imams just made the statement that we will take the Capitol, we will take Congress, we will take America, we will rise up and control. That's being said publicly in Dearborn, Michigan, as of 4 or 5 days ago, his statement was made. So now, Congressman, my question is, what do we do in the face of that? I've said for years and years and years and years, the Islamic jihadists have been operating incrementally. They've been getting a little leverage here, a little leverage there, a little leverage there, and I believe we have been asleep at the wheel. What do we need to do? Politically, socially, economically, spiritually, what do we need to do as Americans to prevent America from going to the total control of the Islamic jihadists?
Dr. Youngblood, we need to confront it. We need to rise up against it. We need to go before God and say, just like the nation Israel before a major battle, should we go against them? And the Lord would respond, yes. I have put them in your hands. Go ahead and take the battle. That's what we have to do. We have to stand up to this evil that we see that is happening. We cannot tolerate it. We simply cannot allow that leaven to continue growing and manifest itself in so many evil ways that we are seeing, not only in the United States, but around the world. This whole idea of being anti-Israel is a disguised way of being anti-God. They hate the God of the nation Israel. They hate the God of Christianity. They hate the one true God because it means they are being held accountable. And that's why they are demanding this nonsense. They say they're going to rise up in every capital around the world. I'll bet you they don't rise up in Moscow. I bet you they don't rise up somewhere in North Korea or in China. Yeah. I bet you they won't. But where they will do it is in tolerant blue states, tolerant blue cities is where they will do it and try to give the illusion that it's all happening all around the world. But we need to confront it. We cannot just sit back and be these meek, milquetoast Christians and watch them try to take our civilization. If we love God, if we love our families and our children, we must rise up and protect it.
Absolutely. And you touched on the mantra that I've used for so many years. I believe it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I think it's time Christians recognize that we cannot embrace the enemy. We cannot place our arms around the enemy and bring them into the camp without the understanding they will undermine and tear down and destroy what God is wanting to do in America. In fact, Minnesota, now absolutely controlled by the Islamic jihadists. They've even developed and come up with a new flag as of October of last year. Their flag looking almost identical to the Palestinian flag, as it is called. We're witnessing the rising up. In fact, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, I make the mention that when Islam in any city, any state, any nation gets to between 2 and 6%, they will rise up and demand to have control. It's carrying out the aim, the goal, the ambition of Muhammad to be the dominating factor of all the globe. We're witnessing that revival of the Islamic jihadist movement to try to do that today. One final question, Congressman, before our time is out. I'm looking at a headline, FBI confirms it's starting its election censorship campaign. I've got a massive article where the FBI is admitting that as of this moment, for the balance of the season until the election, they will electronically monitor all communication of everything, text, email, voicemail, et cetera, and cancel anything that they consider, the FBI considers, misinformation or disinformation. How do we respond to that? What should we do?
What we should do, Dr. Youngblood, of course, is not comply.
Congressman, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Dr. Youngblood? Yes. What we should do is not comply. What we should do instead is...
Congressman Hill.
Hello? Can you hear me, Dr. Youngblood?
Are you there?
I will call back in. Let me hang up and call back in right away.
Hello, hello. Something happened to my sound.
Dr. Youngblood, you were asking about how should we respond to what we are seeing that is happening around us, in particular with this this intifada, this worldwide intifada? What we need to do is, of course, not comply, to not accept, to not tolerate what they are doing. It reminds me of the verse in Psalms 119, 126, where it says, it is time for
Hill, if you can hear me, you'll wrap
Lord.
Up. My sound is cut off.
I can hear you, Dr. Youngblood, now. Can you hear me? Okay. Psalm 119, 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. O God, it is time for you to act, for thy law has been broken. And that is our plea to God right now. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. We must call upon the name of our Lord God Almighty, Jesus, to act on our behalf. Look up, America. Things are going to be better. We just need to submit ourselves to the Lord God Almighty, and he will prevail. Thank you for listening today to Let's Face the Issues. This radio show is so needed and much necessary in that it is helping us as Christians recognize how we should respond to the issues of the day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder,